Good morning, brethren. You don't hear that all that often in Indianapolis, but we're meeting bright and early today to give the Ketubic folks a jump on things. You know, babies, they're just in the present. They don't worry about tomorrow or dwell on the past. They're just all right there in the present. But as they grow and develop, even by the time they can crawl, they have a sense of the past, and they can learn from it. And they know if they touch a hot radiator, that's hot, and they remember, and they'll avoid that going forward. And as they get even older, by the time that they're toddlers, they have a sense of the future also. So they know that if they are good and they earn 10 gold stars on the chart, on the refrigerator, that they get to go out with mommy for ice cream, and so they try to be good because they have a sense of the future, and they can plan for the future somewhat. So with a memory of the past and thoughts of the future, we essentially have past selves and future selves, right? Past versions of ourselves, future versions of ourselves. Our past self can seem like a totally different person, right? Somebody who goes to jail and then gets out of jail after, you know, being rehabilitated and repenting, you know, will look at his past self, the criminal version of himself, and say, you know, what was I thinking? I was a totally different person. I was driven by different values, and I'm a different person today. Likewise, first-generation Christians will look on their pre-conversion selves, and they will seem like totally different people. That past version of themselves, who lived by a different compass, who had different goals in their lives. And second generation people also, like me, a lot of us have a point where we start taking things seriously, and we also live by different values and different compass. And we can look back, and that past self, again, can seem like a different person. Not that we're perfect now, but we still have different values and think differently. And our future selves can seem like a totally different person. When I was in high school, I could hardly imagine the time when I would be out of the house and in college. I knew intellectually that I would because, you know, that's the progression. You finish high school, you leave the house. And in my case, I knew that I wanted to go to college. And I knew intellectually I was going to be in a different city, doing different things, sleeping in a different bed, not seeing my mom for dinner every night. I knew all that stuff was true, but I just couldn't imagine a life that was so radically different than my own life living as a child at home. So it seems weird. We have these past selves, future selves, but we need a good relationship with our past selves, with our future selves. And we have psychological terms for people who don't, right? If you have an issue with your past self, we might call that regret. We also might call it guilt, right? Those are terms that mean that you wish your past self had done something differently, and now you're in a mess right now because of what your past self did, and so you're not that happy with your past self or with the decisions of your past self. And likewise, if we have an issue with our future selves, those have psychological terms also. We might call that anxiety, right? Where we're worried that our future self isn't going to have it so good. Maybe things are good now, but there are so many bad things that could happen to that future self that we worry. That's called anxiety. Or despair. Despair means that we're so concerned, we just have no hope for the future. In fact, the word despair comes from Latin words that mean having no hope, right? If you have no hope, then you're not gonna live in a way maybe even that promotes a happy future self because you don't think it's worth it. You just don't think it can come together. So not only should we have a proper relationship with our past self and our future self, but I would even go so far as to say that you should love your future self. Now, I'm fully aware that we have somebody from the home office here who's going to speak right after me, And so I'm trying to be on my best behavior and keep my heresy to a minimum. But I think it's true, right? The Bible, after all, says you should love your neighbor as yourself. So it's implied. Christ is taking it as a given that you care about your own self, your own welfare, and he's trying to say, love your neighbor just in that same way. It doesn't mean don't love yourself. It means care about your neighbor just as much. Or likewise, what Paul says in Ephesians 5:28, he says, he who loves his wife loves himself. Right? It's not bad for the husband to love himself, but he should love his wife just as much. And so we do want to care about others. Paul also says, esteem others better than yourself. So that's important. We want to be selfless, but we also should esteem ourselves to a certain degree. We have self-worth. And if God thinks that we're worthy of love, then we should also think that we're worthy of love. We should take care of ourselves and be concerned. So much suffering comes from people who don't care about their future selves, right? It's not like people have no idea that taking drugs is bad for them, or smoking is bad, or getting into a habit of alcoholism. Everybody knows those things are bad, right? They're not doing it out of ignorance. They're doing it because they're not thinking of their future selves. Maybe because they have no hope. It could be that they have issues and the future looks so bad that they're doing those things specifically so they don't have to think about the future, because they want to block it out of their minds. So why do people not care about their future self? One big reason is what we just said, which is not having hope, not believing that they have a future, not believing that the future will be good or that they have any influence over their future. But we do know that we have a bright future that God has given us. Jeremiah 29:11 says that God has a future and a hope that he wants to give us, right? A bright, awesome future that God has promised us. One thing that really drew me to God's way and to the Bible and to believing the Bible in particular when I was little was fulfilled prophecies, that I could see here's what God predicted would happen. Because a prophecy is kind of a promise, saying that this is how it's going to be. And then seeing later, hundreds of years, thousands of years later, that look, it actually happened. And that was a real draw to me, because I could see God makes promises, and then he keeps the promises. Well, he's made us other promises about our future that haven't been fulfilled yet, but if he keeps his past promises, we can count on him to keep his future promises. Not everybody in this world, or in the church even, cares enough about their future selves to make the right decisions. If they don't have hope, that can get in the way. It can lead to depression. It can lead to paralysis. But you want your future self to be in God's kingdom. And having hope helps you take the steps toward the kingdom rather than running away, or rather than blocking out thoughts of the future. Another big reason why people don't always care for their future self or consider it is that they just can't relate to it. That the future just seems so different than today that they can't even relate, and so they don't take care of the future. Like me in high school, I mean, it's not like I was in denial or getting bad grades or not preparing for college. But still, I knew intellectually I could go there, but I just couldn't relate to that version of me who would be an adult, living on his own, making decisions, not asking my mom for permission for everything. It just seemed like such a foreign thing. And yet, it happened. And fortunately, I prepared enough that I got to do what I wanted to do, and I got into Purdue and everything. It worked out. But it's not easy to relate, even if you intellectually know. Or a young person, a lot of young people, they don't think about retirement. It's not that they don't believe they're going to get old, but it just seems like now is going to last so long, and that's so far off that they don't relate to it. And so they don't prepare. It just seems so far off. Some young people might even think of their future selves as boomers, right? You know, these boring, old, out-of-touch people, and they kind of know, well, they're going to be old, and they don't even like their future selves just because they're going to be old, right? It doesn't make a lot of sense because that's the direction we go. We might as well do the best we can for that future version of us, and maybe he won't be as bad as we think if we do that. All right? But so not being able to relate is a big obstacle. So those were physical things, but what about us in the kingdom? Right? I know intellectually what God has in store for me. I know that kingdom. I've read about it in the Bible. But still, just like when I was a kid in my own house, in my mom's house, it's hard to imagine the next step. It's hard to imagine me with a spiritual body ruling over a city in a world where everybody's doing what they should and when there's not war. It's just hard to relate. And we're never going to be able to perfectly relate to how that is until we get there. But God still helps us relate, right? We rehearse this plan every year. We bring it to the forefront of our minds. We go someplace where we dwell during the feast with like-minded people to get a foretaste of what it's like. And it's not really what it's like, but that's as close as we can get, right? Being with people who are like-minded, who are hopefully getting along and showing love for each other, living in a time of plenty, right, that God provides for with the tithes. He helps us relate. And even the camp that we're about to do, Camp Ketubic, is a little foretaste of what the future is going to be like. And we call that the zone. All right? It's not the kingdom, but it is a time that God's people are together. They all understand his way. They're trying to live it out. It's not perfect, but we try to create that scenario so that we learn for the present and we also get a glimpse into that future, into the future self that we're trying to strive for. So if we put these things together, right, that we want to care about our future self, that we have hope in that future, that we can get there, that we can even relate to that future self as much as possible, what do? Well, I'll tell you, we give gifts to our future self. We give gifts. So for those Gary Chapman fans, I can tell you that your future self's love language is giving gifts and acts of service. So I'm taking a little bit of liberties with his concept, but those were the only two love languages that really seem to relate to what you can do now for yourself down the road. So work with me here a little bit. But you can give gifts now to your future self doing small things that will be a big deal to yourself in the future. Little things can mean a lot. So if you're young, what about giving a full set of teeth to your 80-year-old self? Right? It seems like such a mundane thing, but we can do that, and we all know how to do that. And I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many people who are older wish that they could go back and tap their past self on the shoulder and say, hey, about those teeth, how about you do some of these things because I would really appreciate that? Or how about giving the gift of a body that's thriving in old age? Right? We know there aren't any guarantees of health, but we also know that we can influence how we're going to be in the future with diet and exercise. And the choices we make today won't have consequences all that much today. They pretty much have consequences tomorrow. So that's a gift that we can give. What if we go beyond the physical things? Right? There's a saying, good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment. Right? Which means taking meme speak and turning that into English, it means we become wise and successful by doing a bunch of stupid things, making mistakes, and then suffering for them. But why not skip as much of the mistakes and suffering as we can, right? We have God's word. We know so much. There's so much wisdom in here. We don't have to gain all of our wisdom and judgment from doing the wrong things and learning the wrong lessons personally, right? That's a gift that we can give ourselves by skipping all that. Who wants all that drama anyway? It's kind of good to live without so much drama. We should strive to seek wisdom and good judgment just like a health nut seeks the perfect body at the gym or the optimal diet. We want to seek it as passionately as some people pursue Bitcoin or the next meme stock, right? That'll really bear dividends if we can do those things. Because the one who created us has the answers and can give us that wisdom. Wisdom we can't find on TikTok. Whether it's about choosing a mate or building meaningful relationships or planning a bright future for ourselves. We want to seek those answers with passion. So your future self is counting on you. If you don't give it gifts, stick with me here, your future self will eventually be your present self, and that present self will be mad at your past self, which is today's self, for not giving it the gifts that it needs. Did that make sense? I hope so. So remember the words we talked about before, right? Regret and guilt are wishing that your past self would have done something differently, right? But wherever you are in life, old or young, you can do something now to benefit the future, to avoid regret and guilt as much as possible. So you have a great future within your reach at any age. Your actions today can lead to a brighter future tomorrow, and not just in this life, but beyond it. The ultimate future is with God, and God wants nothing more than to spend eternity with those whom he's called to be in his family.